is where Washington comes to talk. I'm Larry O'Connor, and look at that, it's Mercedes Schlapp filling in for Brian Wilson, who's on vacation.
Are we like on our third cup of coffee, tea? What are we doing?
Third?
Fourth?
30th, maybe, to keep things going here on Mornings on the Mall. We got to give the energy that some people might not have this
That's
early
right.
in the morning. And you're doing a great job, Mercedes.
Thank you
very much for
so
being
great
here.
To be here.
Another great one is one of our favorite guests here joining us now, Tucker Carlson, editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller and host of Fox and Friends Mornings on the Weekends, or I don't know what the official name
of it is. I just
want to
tell you, Tucker Carlson does not sleep. I'm telling you right now. The man, he's one of the hardest working guys in the TV
He
business.
Knows the morning schedule. Hey, Tucker, how are you?
Well, good morning.
The difference is on Fox and Friends, you actually have to look good. See, we can just roll out of bed.
I haven't met that threshold yet.
Listen, so much to talk to you about. Let's first, you know, everybody in this town is just freaking out over the fundraising numbers that have been released and saying that Donald Trump just can't hack it against the big Clinton Democrat machine that he's going to be going up against with only, what, $1.3 million in the bank. Are you as worried about that? And what does Trump need to do to reverse the trend?
Well, you know, I don't think it's a good sign, obviously. I mean, if the Trump campaign had a theory of the case, if they came out and said, look, we have 1.3 million, she has 40 times more, but this is part of the plan, and here's what we're going to do, you'd be reassured. But this looks more like disorganization and the product of chaos to me. On the other hand, you know, the best-funded candidate doesn't always win, of course. As Jeb Bush found out, as a whole list of candidates have discovered in the last 20 years. So, A, B, I think he should flip it around on her and attack her for her success in fundraising. I mean, isn't that the whole, that was the whole theme of his primary candidacy was, I'm not beholden to big money. She's a creature of Wall Street. She sucks up to rich people for a living. She does their bidding. She's a handmaiden to the finance community. I mean, now is the time to revive that, I would say.
Tucker, it's a brilliant point. And also, by the way, can we just focus, as I often like to do, on the hypocrisy in the media for a moment? I have endured decades of these people sitting behind their cameras on cable news decrying the poison politics in American politics and how we've got to get money out of it and big money runs everything. Well, here we've got a candidate who doesn't have big money up against Hillary Clinton, who's full of big money, and they're burying Donald Trump as being an ineffective, inept politician. How can they have it? But they should be—he should be their hero.
I never thought reporters liked Hillary. I still don't think they do. But they hate Donald Trump so much that I can't think of a conventional news outlet that is covering this fairly.
Tucker, what would you say? It's like a love-hate relationship more than they just simply hate him. They love the ratings. They love when he gets on air. But then they go quick to saying he's a racist, or they call him all sorts of
just
names.
Just say it, Mercedes.
Well,
Joe Scarborough.
Exactly. Joe Scarborough. I mean, Joe Scarborough the other day compared him to a member of the Nazi party. I mean, it was insane.
Well, but that's a hangover. I mean, a lot of this is residual guilt from the orgy of media coverage that took place this winter. And, you know, they feel like, oh, I'm part of the reason he got the nomination. He got $2 billion in free media that, you know, it's my fault. I mean, it's a kind of narcissism that allows them to imagine that they're responsible for Trump's rise.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, trying to atone for it by beating him up. I mean, I think he deserves, as every candidate does, tough scrutiny, of course, from the press. That's the whole point of having a press. But read the Washington Post or Politico or, you know, organizations that are liberal but like kind of supposedly are supposed to try to cover campaigns fairly. They're not even trying. I mean, the Washington Post is unbelievable. I've always defended the Post, my hometown paper, but their coverage of Trump is like, it's like a parody. I mean, they hate him and they cannot, they're not even pretending. So that is a huge problem for Trump, because if you don't have paid media, you need to rely on free media. And if the free media is unrelentingly hostile, you're not going to get your message out, period.
Tucker, I changed your name for a moment there. But don't you think that Trump, for the most part, there is this concern in the media circles, and you're well deep into these circles. They're concerned about Trump taking on the media the way he has done, that they're worried that they're going to be, you know, like the Washington Post, they've been kicked out of getting credentials to attend rallies. Isn't there this genuine concern that he just would stomp all over the media?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have such mixed feelings about that. That is absolutely part of it. you know, Trump is buffoonish in a lot of ways. I think he's running a terrible campaign. But is he worse at his job than most reporters are at theirs? Probably not. I mean, really, if it's, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's hard to know whose side to take. I would probably take Trump's in this, but I don't think that's what it's really about. I think they think Trump is immoral. I mean, I really do. I think at
the media,
at
core, I can't believe they think that he's immoral compared to.
Yeah, they think he's immoral, and they think this is like a contest between good and evil, and they're not going to be on the wrong side of it.
Well,
I really think they're moralizers.
Tucker Carlson, you know that the Clintons have always been the personification of morality in American politics. So I think it's understandable.
This is what happens when, I mean, most reporters obviously are not that bright. If they were, they'd be in finance. So this is not like a cross-section of America's smart people.
What are you trying to say about yourself, Tucker? Hello, Larry and I are taking it very personally.
Yes, we're all in the media, Tucker.
I'm trying to say if I was smarter, I'd be living in Greenwich and working in a hedge fund, but I'm not.
Like Hillary's son-in-law. All right.
Exactly.
Tucker, apparently, I'm seeing this now that you're going to be part of the District of Comedy Roast of James Carville. This is an annual fundraising event that's done at the Kennedy Center, and you're going to be on the dais with Paul Begala, Mary Madeline, Jim Norton, who's hilarious, by the way, Bob Saget, Reverend Al Sharpton. My God, this is a party. What kind of jokes are you going to bring to the table against James Carville? I mean, there's hardly anything to make fun of the guy about.
I'm so nervous about this. I'm never nervous about speaking in public. I mean, I do it for a living, but I am totally terrified. I mean, it's one thing to make a dumb argument about Brexit or gun control, but to blow jokes is just like the worst thing you could ever do.
And James Carville, he could probably roast you, Tucker Carlson.
Well, James has been roasting me for almost 20 years.
Well,
I actually
sure, this
love
goes
James.
Back a while, yeah.
He's one of my favorite people, believe it or
he
not.
He is, but I mean, I love James, but I absolutely adore Mary. I mean, I don't know how she's put up with James for so long. I think I pray for her every day.
Do you want to try? He's not listening, so do you want to try out one of the jokes now just to see how
it goes? I can't. I don't have them. I'm taking the train to New York at noon, and they sent me a bunch of suggested jokes, but I gotta write it. I got to bang it out, unfortunately.
By the way, the roast is tomorrow night over at the Kennedy Center, and tickets are still on sale for this thing. And Triumph the Insult Jog is going to be there. I love him. Or, well, I don't know. Is Triumph technically a boy? Yeah, he smokes a cigar all the time, and he's a boy.
Yeah, he's an elderly Russian dog.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good time, Tucker. I think that you're going to kill it. You're going to be great. Are you going to work blue, or are you going to keep it clean?
Well, his daughters, his girls, who I've known since they were born, are going to be there. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really conflicted. I say a prayer.
All right. You're in our prayers, Tucker Carlson. You're going to be great. You're funny even when you don't try to be.
Yeah, well, when I try to be, I'm not. But thank you.
Like when you're doing ballroom dancing and such.
ballroom dancing? I didn't know that.
I'll show you in a minute. Thank you, Tucker. Have a good time.